You're listening to Titans of the Trades. I'm your host, Ryan England, author of Hire Better People Faster and creator of the CoreFit Hiring System, a proven process to help growing companies attract and retain only the best. I'm on a mission to revolutionize the perception of the trades and elevate it to new heights. After growing up in a blue-collar family, my passion for making the trades cool again runs deep. If you're a titan in the industry and want to be on my show, stick around until the end and I'll reveal how you can be my next guest.
You think about, boy, if I could go talk to me 10 years ago, I'd say, do more of this and less of that, and here are the mistakes, and here's how to avoid them. How much better could you have done? Well, this is your chance to help that person. And now when I say this is your chance to help, that doesn't mean you are the one coaching and training, because again, you might be great at running a business. You might not be the best coach for this person in the role. That might mean you need to find someone else to do that coaching or training, or send them somewhere else to recognize they need that guidance just like you do. It's a long-term plan, and you have to find the optimal way to do it, which may or may not be you.
Today's guest is a soft skills leadership training expert. And what I mean by that is he has written a book. He has an app that is free. You're going to learn all about it, that is going to help you upskill your team, upskill your future leaders, and maybe even upskill some of your own abilities. He's written a book called The Career Toolkit. He has an app that will help you with the little things you need to be remembering, the little tips that you need every single day so you can be a more effective leader. Want to welcome to today's show, Mark Hirschberg. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
So we got to chat a little bit before I hit the record button, and we got so many different ways we could take this episode. But what I want to make sure we do is really bring some value to our listeners today. I know that you wrote a book, and I want you to just tell a little bit about that and ways that you're supporting growing companies with that. But in the work that you do and the knowledge, the background that you have, what would you say is one of the biggest myths that people are holding on to that's really holding them back?
When it comes to soft skills, things like leadership, networking, communication, people often think that's an innate skill. There are natural leaders, and you either are or you aren't. And if you aren't, end of story. But the fact is, every one of these skills can be learned. You can learn to be a great networker or a great leader, just like you can learn to be a great basketball player or a great carpenter. You may have a natural proclivity for it. You may not. Just like people have a natural proclivity to certain sports or skills, but doesn't mean you can't learn even if you're not a natural.
Oh, I love that. You know, as soon as you said that, it got me thinking about a quote that I heard from Simon Sinek where he says, I'm naturally an introvert and people don't think introverts do good on stage. He goes, but I've learned as an introvert that if I have a conversation with you and a conversation with you and a conversation with you while I'm up on stage, it's easy for me. And it just really got me thinking what you're talking about, learning these soft skills. You may not have the proclivity to it, but there is, if you can just find out where your strengths are in that.
I'd even go further. When I think about my own public speaking, now I do happen to be an introvert, and that happens to do with how much energy you have from being around lots of people or not. In fact, introversion and public speaking, I'd argue they're separate things. People often conflate them. Now, I was also a terrible public speaker. I was a kid in school and we had to do that 3-minute talk in front of the class. I would keep my head down just looking at the notes. I'd mumble through it and I'd be shaking and I was terrible. And I knew I needed to get better. There were kids who were just naturally good at it. They didn't put in any effort and I put in effort and was bad. But I started to focus on it. I joined the debate club in high school because I wanted to get better at it. What really helped, I did that. I took some public speaking training as well. I was actually a competitive ballroom dancer, which sounds ironic. But the big thing, when you're a competitive ballroom dancer, you're out there dancing in front of a bunch of people. You are literally being judged for what you do. Yes. And I was screwing up and the judges were going, yep, that's bad. We're not marking him. And I got through it. So, it's okay. I survived. And that built up my confidence. Whatever it is you're doing, you can practice it. I gave the sports example. If you are bad at baseball, well, you sit there and you go to the batting cage and you just practice, and you take thousands of pitches, tens of thousands of pitches. You practice throwing to first base, whatever it is you're doing, you do it over and you build up the habit. And the other person who might have been naturally good but didn't put in the time, he's not going to come out as strong as you because you put in that effort. And that's what we can do with these soft skills as well as these other skills that we're more used to doing that.
So it's that repetition, the practice of leadership, the practice of communication, the practice of empathy, and those sorts of things, just practicing those soft skills over and over again.
Absolutely. Now, I am someone who wrote a book on this topic, but I am the first to say you don't learn to be a great swimmer by reading a book. You have to actually be in the pool doing it.
Yeah.
And the book can give you some guidance, but then you need to practice. Now, it might be drills. Again, when you think baseball, you do drills. You practice batting. You practice throwing to first. Then you actually play scrimmage games to practice, and then you play real games. And throughout, you have coaching, you have feedback. In fact, a common other mistake we make, we think about when we're promoting people, let's say, to a management position. Say, Ryan, congratulations. I'm putting you in charge of the team now. Listen, this is your first time doing it. I'm going to send you off to a two-day training program for foreman. Okay, welcome back. Yeah, 2 days of training. You're ready to run the team. Good luck to you. If we did that with our sports team, say, oh, welcome, you just joined our football team. Okay, we're going to send you to a two-day football clinic. Welcome back. You're ready to play the season. You're good now. No more training for you. That's insanity.
Yeah.
And that's what we do with our managers or with the people we're trying to train up. One and done. And that's not how it works.
Or it's one of those things, too, where we take, you know, our best first baseman and we put him in the outfield because we think that's a promotion. Like, he's going to out there and he's going to coach. It's like, wait a minute. No, he was really good at first base. That's what his skills lean towards. And then we promote him into something, or we make him a coach, or, and then all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute. Now we're losing games and first base sucks because we took our best guy and moved him.
One of my best ballroom coaches was not one of the best dancers. If you put my coaches up, if you put my competition head to head, he probably was not going to come out on top, but he was very good at teaching and explaining. And some of the other coaches who had a higher ranking, they weren't great teachers.
Yeah.
And one of the things we need to recognize with the roles, and you gave a good example, is that different roles have different skill sets. We see so often in a company, people start out, they're an individual contributor. They're doing their role and they do it well. So we put them in a more senior version of that role as an individual contributor. You're responsible for a more complex piece of the project or a bigger part of it. Mm-hmm. And so they just say, oh, well, I'm doing a good job with whatever my task is. And I'll, by doing that, by doing it better, I keep going up and up. And then we move them to a managerial or supervisory position. All of a sudden, the metrics for success change because you can't just keep doing what you did and make it better and do it bigger.
Yeah.
It now means you're getting other people to do the work. And that's a different set of skills that goes to that leadership and management and communication, which were not skills you were relying on in that first role you had.
And, you know, in the work that we do, we often see a lot of times the skills for the lower level positions, the ones that are actually doing the labor work, there's training for that. There's training on how to do the work. But once they get up, there's less and less training for the soft skills. There's less and less training on how to be a good leader, on how to communicate, on how to plan and strategize and those sorts of things. You were talking about the coaches. It got me thinking. Tiger Woods has said that he's one of the best golfers because of his coaches. But none of his coaches can outgolf Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. I took a bartending class and my bartending instructor said the same thing. He said, it's all about how well you're teaching, less about how you're doing.
Yeah. So what can business leaders do? I get there's an element where they can learn some of these soft skills on their own. But when they're thinking about promoting somebody or they're looking for the next leader inside their organization, what can they do to prepare this employee to have these soft skills or be able to learn and improve on these things?
Start by really defining what the new role is and what the differences are. Sit down with this potential promotion. Say, right now you're doing this role, and that means you're spending your time doing XYZ. as you move to this new role, you might need knowledge of XYZ, but you're going to spend most of your time doing ABC. And to be successful doing that, these are the skills you need. It doesn't matter how well you are at pouring concrete. If you're managing people who are pouring concrete, that's a different set of skills. And let's talk about what those skills are.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to be doing? Because you gave that example of the guy from first base moving to outfield. Maybe he doesn't even want to be in the outfield. He prefers being at first base and he's going to be unhappy there. So let's talk about, do you want to spend your day doing ABC? And then if you do, let's talk about these skills, where you are, where you might be short, how we can train you up, recognizing that it's not the one and done training. We're going to create a long-term plan for you to be developing these skills over time. Just like when you get someone new on your sports team, put them in the outfield, you say, we're going to run practice sessions. We're going to do drills, but throughout the season to really get you prepared for it.
You know, when you were saying that, the thing that was running through my mind, and I'm sure some people are hearing this too, is that sounds like that takes time. Like I have to be patient. I don't get to just say, hey, Mark, tomorrow's your new day as the foreman. You better knock it out of the park and hit these KPIs in the next month or we're going to have a problem. That's not what I heard you say. What I heard you say is you have to sometimes say, these are the things I need you to focus on. And as the leader, or maybe even the owner of the company, I need to be patient with them.
Absolutely. Look back at yourself and think back 5 years, 10 years, whenever you were early in the company, started the company, maybe a couple years into it. Were you as effective then as you are today? How many mistakes did you make as a business owner along the way because you didn't know and you bumped your head a couple times and tripped up because
still making them?
Yeah. So recognize this is what we all go through. But you think about, boy, if I could go talk to me 10 years ago, I'd say, do more of this and less of that. And here are the mistakes and here's how to avoid them. How much better could you have done? Well, this is your chance to help that person. And now when I say this is your chance to help, that doesn't mean you are the one coaching and training, because again, you might be great at running a business. You might not be the best coach for this person in the role. That might mean you need to find someone else to do that coaching or training or send them somewhere else to recognize they need that guidance just like you do. It's a long-term plan. And you have to find the optimal way to do it, which may or may not be you.
People ask me that question, like, if you go back 10 years and give yourself some advice, what would you say? And my question is always, do we assume that I listen to my future self? Because 10 years ago, I knew everything about business. Like, I knew it all. I wouldn't listen to anybody. And that's a reminder for this, too, is that they may not be as receptive as you think they should be to some of this stuff, because they have to go take the training wheels off and go, oh, I fell over. Maybe they knew something that I didn't know. Like my kids tell me all the time, my daughter's 9, Daddy, I know everything in the world. I go, because your world is these four walls of this house and our block that we live on, that's your world. And yes, you probably know most of that better than I do because it's all you do. But I have to remind her all the time, Dad does know what he's talking about sometimes. But she still goes out and she's still got to skin her knee and she's still got to learn, oh, maybe Dad was right. And I think the same thing happens in the workplace.
That's an excellent analogy because she does know that block well. She knows how to navigate the block. But if you dropped her in the middle of New York City, that's a new context for her. That's going to be a little
if
harder.
If I drive her to the next neighborhood over, you don't have to go to New York.
And that's what happens, as you're pointing out, with our jobs, because the job I've had has been on this block. And that's why I know well, I've done it well, and that's why you're looking to promote me. But now you're putting me in a new environment. It's going to take me some time to learn that new neighborhood, get up to speed. But if you can help me out by getting me that map, by having me talk to someone who knows that neighborhood, and that's a coach, and it's maybe you, or it's maybe someone else, now it's going to be an easier transition. We're going to speed up that transition time.
All right. So this might be the mic drop moment. Everybody's wondering, how long before we know we made the right decision? How many times do we let them fail as they test these new things? Like, what's the expectation that I should have as a leader? Mark, I just promoted you into a role that's that new city block. You don't know a lot. I'm having to bring in experts to train you on things that I can't train you on because there's soft skills that maybe you haven't used in a long time or you've never used. How long do I wait as a leader to go, okay, Mark was the right guy versus, you know what? Maybe we need to have a conversation about putting him back in the old role.
Great question. The answer is not in time, but activity.
Okay.
So there's no, oh, it's 2 months in, let's do this check. It comes down to, we know this person used to do XYZ, and now their tasks are ABC. And maybe they've got A down pretty well, but B and C they're struggling with.
Okay.
So we look and say, every time you try to do B, you're making some mistakes, but are you repeating the mistakes? Are you making the same mistake over and over? Do you say, oh, you know what? I did that wrong, but talking to you, the owner of the company, or getting feedback from my coach, I see what I did wrong. I see how to do it better next time. And next time, they don't make the same mistake. They might make a slightly different one, but they are learning. Mm. And that's telling you they are moving along that path. Now, how fast that happens has to do with how often are they doing B? Because if they're doing B once every 3 months, it might take them a while to get through all the mistakes that happen with B.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So what are some warning signs that people should be looking out for to go, okay, we made the right decision, we promoted the right person, or what are the signs of like, maybe I didn't, or maybe there's a blind spot that I as the leader have, or they as the employee have, that maybe we need to work on some coaching versus they're just not the right person.
Your daughter can say, I know everything. Because as you point out, her world is not that big. As an adult, if you're saying, I don't need your help, I know what I'm doing, That's a bad sign. That says they are not open to the idea that they need to improve, that they have something to learn. I've been teaching these skills for decades at MIT Sloan School of Management, one of the top schools, one of the top management schools in the country. I know I still have a lot to learn. I'm not at the point, oh, I'm done. I know everything. Now I can just teach you. No, I still want to keep learning.
Yeah.
All of us can get better. And I'm sure as a business owner, you know, you can still get better. There's probably still things you can learn. So you want someone with that mindset of, I don't know everything and I am open to learning. Now, as an owner, it's important for you to create that environment because you wouldn't hire someone to pour concrete who shows up and says, so listen, I've never done this before. So can you show me how I use the mixer and pour the concrete? So, oh my God, that's a terrible mistake. What would we do hiring this guy? But if you say, look, I know this is a new role. We know, you know, A, you might be new to B and C and we get that. And we're here to help support you, myself, the person we hire to help you out, the coach, consultant, whatever, the training we're sending you to, it's okay to say, I need help. You have to create that culture to say, hey, I've got a question and you're not going to bite my head off if I don't know the answer or need some guidance. If you create that environment and someone in that environment can then ask these questions and say, I'm not perfect, I still have something to learn, that's when you have the right person. When they do not show a willingness to learn, or if you have a culture where you say, you're in this role now, why are you coming to me and asking, you should know all this already, where it's something that it might be a new skill, then you've got a problem. Now, the problem might be the person or it might be you and your culture.
I was just thinking that, like, sometimes it might be the leader that has the problem and needs some training or some coaching to be able to support the newly promoted leader inside the organization. So training does not just fall on the people you're promoting, but sometimes it can fall on you as the owner, the entrepreneur, the senior leader in the organization as well.
If you create a culture when someone comes to you to say, I need help, and you say, that's your own damn problem, they're going to stop coming to you asking for help. They're going to struggle on their own and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Now, this is where being an owner, this is the art of management. When they say, I need help with this, at what point do you say, you've been doing this for 6 months, you should know it by now because you do it every day.
Yeah.
Or I promoted you assuming you knew this versus, hey, that's okay, we're going to help you get better at this. And that's the art of it. There's no one answer of it's always this or that, but it's recognizing that there is a learning curve and helping people along it.
No, and I love the answer of It really depends on how patient you have to be based on how often they're doing. If it's a daily thing, maybe 30, 60 days is what I heard you say. If it's something that they're only doing once a quarter, it might be a year that you have to be patient with them before they actually get it because they're not doing it enough. Now, you have a book out to help people with growing in their careers. You also have an app that you've created, which is really cool. Tell us a little bit about that and how people, especially in the small business space, how they can use these tools to help upskill their team or maybe even themselves.
I'll mention both of these. The book is The Career Toolkit, and the book itself, 10 chapters, 10 skills, leadership, management, networking, negotiations, communication, all these skills no one actually sits down and teaches us. They're all in the book. You don't have to read it cover to cover. You can jump into whatever chapter you want to focus on. Each chapter has a mindset shift and then actionable things you can do to be better at those skills. If you want to upskill multiple people, we have free resources on the website for how you can create a peer learning program. In fact, something you can do, because often at small businesses, you might have only one or two or a handful of people in these positions. Find peers, find people with similar companies and say, let's get your foreman and our foreman, and they're all going to get together and create their own discussion group to talk about what they're learning and share ideas across each other. And we have a free framework for how to do that. Now, the other tool is the Brain Bump app. Here's the thing. When you read a book like mine, you say, this is great. And then you forget usually a couple weeks later. Mm-hmm. When you're listening to a great podcast like this one, right now you're probably driving to work or maybe you're at the gym and you're saying, wow, there's great advice. What are the odds you're going to remember this? Because you're not writing it down right now. What are the odds you're going to remember this a week or two later? So the Brain Bump app, completely free app, Android and iPhone, it takes the key ideas from books, blogs, podcasts, classes, and talks, puts it into the app. Think like little flashcards, but not flashcards you have to study for, because who has time for that? They're flashcards that sit in your pocket, and you can use it one of two ways. Either you pull it up just as you need them. So you've got all the networking tips from my book. They're sitting there in your pocket. And the next time you're going into an event and you're thinking, ooh, this is a networking event. What is it I'm supposed to be doing? What did I read that I've forgotten? You open the app, you select networking, and there's all the tips so you can look at them right before you need it. 2 minutes before you walk in the room, you are primed now to use those networking skills. Or as you're listening to a podcast like this and thinking, I want to remember all these great tips, you can set it so you get like a daily reminder. At 7 a.m. each morning as you're driving, well, not when you're driving, as you get out of the car, you get that reminder 7 a.m. each morning. It pops up on your cell phone. You don't even have to open the app with one of the tips from this episode or a prior episode. Say, all right, good point. Swipe it away and you're done. But by seeing it over and over, that's going to help you retain and remember it. And this is all free. The Brain Bump app is completely free.
Wow. Like I told you earlier, I'm an idea guy, and just the ideas running through my head on how to use an app like that with those very timely reminders and just little nuggets every day and the habits it can create and the change in thinking it can create over time. What an amazing tool available to entrepreneurs, to business leaders, to anybody looking to grow their career. I mean, I get why you did them together now, Mark. So cool. So how do people get the book? How do they get the app? How do they learn more about you? Because some great ideas here, lots of cool information. I mean, this is one of those episodes that I'm going to go back and listen to again, because there's just so much here to learn.
I'm going to give you two websites. The first for the book, thecareertoolkitbook.com. And on that website, you can see where to buy the book, Amazon, other places. There are articles I put out every week, and there are free resources. Resources you can download completely free. I'm not even collecting your email. The first resource is how to create that peer learning group we talked about, a bunch of other stuff, and all of that is at thecareertoolkitbook.com. For the Brain Bump app, it's available on both Android and iPhone for free. You can also go to brainbumpapp.com. And at that website, you can see links to go to the stores. There's a 90-second video that shows how the app works. And FAQs, but it's all free. It's pretty straightforward. All of this is at brainbumpapp.com.
Brain Bump. Love it. It's downloading now. Can't wait to check it out. Mark, thank you so much for this. So much information here, so much to unpack. For those of you who are listening, I can tell you, I took half a page of notes here. I'll tell you the things that stood out to me. People can be taught soft skills. Sure, some might have an innate ability to make it a little easier for them, but even they need to continue learning. We all do. Rely on others to train people when you can't. That was a big takeaway for me, because sometimes I see leaders say, I can train them on doing all of this stuff because I learned it as a leader. But just because you learned it doesn't mean you're the best at training it. Big takeaway for me. And then I love that warning sign if someone says, hey, I got this. I don't need your help. That might be a warning sign that you may not have the right person to grow with you, grow in your organization, to lead your people. And then, of course, the book and the app, Brain Bump. So amazing. Thank you so much, Mark, for being here. Really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Ryan England here. Thank you so much for listening to Titans of the Trades. If you're a titan in the construction, manufacturing, or skilled trades industry and would like to be a guest on my show, please visit podcast.corematers.com. If you found value in this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot on your phone and share it with a friend or post it on social. And if you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Titans of the Trades. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, click the subscribe button. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and get me one step closer to solving the labor crisis facing the industry. Want to know more about how we're doing that? Go to our website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.